That was good, wasn't it? Praise the Lord for God's grace and God's amazing grace. And we're thankful for it. And where would we be if it wasn't for the grace of God?
Amen.
And we're thankful for it, and we praise the Lord for it every single day. And we need it in our life. And as we serve God and try to figure things out, you know, about life and what we ought to do, decisions we ought to make, thank God we have God's grace, amen, and to help us. And I thank the Lord for it. And I thank the Lord for my home church and each and every one of you. And I know you'll pray for us, and we appreciate it. And we have to pray for one another, especially in these days that we're living. And even more so now is a prayer needed. Amen. And you know, it shouldn't be our last resource. Amen. And it should be our main theme in praying and asking God every day and for one another. A lot of people are struggling. And a lot of people are having some difficult times. We're living in those day and ages. The Bible calls them perilous times. Perilous. And that word means dangerous. Dangerous times that we're living in those times today. And I heard about it at the Mall of America. Somebody starts shooting a gun off. Mall of America. How many have been to the Mall of America? And there were people down there. We're living in dangerous times. You better know what to do. You better have a plan. Formulate a plan. Amen. Anytime something like that happens, and you got to make sure. And so I praise the Lord for this church in these trying times. Church that is still is the flagship of true biblical Christianity and the fundamental Christianity. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? And the people look to the First Baptist Church. And so we need to make sure that we're sailing in the right direction and where God wants us to go, and to not dip our colors and to compromise our stand about things. That's what I appreciate about Brother Clear. And, you know, pastoring in this day and age is not easy. And the people today, pastor people, God never called me to be a pastor. I don't like people. And so that's why he hadn't called me the pastor. I blow in, blow up, blow out. Amen? And that seems to be the knock on evangelists today. But in some time, I don't have evangelists come in there. They come in and get everybody stirred up, you know, and then he leaves. And after about 2 weeks, you know, everybody's back in the same sinful condition they were in before the evangelists arrived. As if that's my fault, you know. But, you know, pastoring is not easy. I talk to pastors all the time. And they talk to me, and they can't always share, you know, a lot of their burdens with their people. And so they share things with me, and it gives me a burden, and my heart goes out to these individuals. And Brother Claire's probably glad God never called him to be an evangelist, but he called him to be a pastor. And but God hadn't called me to be a pastor, and I'm not really qualified. And the pastor, you know, they have those different things in the Bible where you have the different qualifications there. And it talks about living above reproach and having your family in order and all of that. One particular clause in there where it says you shouldn't be a brawler. That's why I have to draw the line, amen? I'm a half Irish, half Norwegian preacher with a hockey player's mentality. Amen. And so if I pastored a church, I'd probably be in jail. Amen. My own family wouldn't even join. I'd be out there on an island all by myself. And Lonely Hearts Baptist Church would be my church. But thank God. And so we need to be diligent. Amen. In praying for these men of God and asking the Lord. And evangelist as he travels. And you read about it in the scriptures. And how God used evangelists and led them in different areas, different directions, different places. The Apostle Paul, he was an apostle. That was his title. And he did the work of the evangelist, but also of the pastor and the missionary. He did it all. We can't really just pigeonhole the Apostle Paul into one particular thing because God used him in several different areas, but he was an apostle. Amen. And so one of the standing members of the early church wrote 14 books of the New Testament and went on 4 evangelistic crusades. But I want to read some verses out of Acts chapter 28. And I know that we make, the new year, we make the resolutions and all of that. And I give you some things, how to keep your resolution. And it's the revived spirit that God wants us to have. And we've got to be energetic and excited and enthused about the things of God. Amen. That'll help us to continue. And so Paul is on the last leg of his 4th evangelistic crusade. And as he was on his way to Rome, he suffered quite a bit of trouble. He went through a storm, and then he went through a shipwreck. And then as he finally arrived on the island, which wasn't particularly on their schedule, but sometimes God has a way of getting us off of our schedule and back on God's schedule. Amen. And he'll use some troubled waters. He'll use some difficult times and a pressure many times to help us and to get our attention and to get us back on track and to get us back in the fight and in the serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they landed upon this island. All 276 of them made it. And that was the promise that God gave the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 27. He said, I've given you all that sail with thee. And not even a hair on their head shall be harmed. You'll suffer some loss. You'll suffer some harm and some struggle. But you'll make it. And we can make it in these troubled times that we're living in. God's people can make it. Amen. Amen. Don't ever think you can't make it. You can make it if you can take it. Amen. As you go through these things, and God gives us the grace to be able to help us and to endure these troubled waters, these hard times that we're living in, and we must constantly trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not in thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Amen. And the waters were rough for the Apostle Paul. At times, the Bible says that the south wind would blow softly. And sometimes that's true, but for the most part, mark it down, we serve God, live for God, and our country is in troubled waters. We're in a storm. We're in a battle for true biblical Christianity, and it's the revived church, the revived Christian that God's going to use, amen, to give us the revival. Now, in Acts 27:1, the Bible says, and when it was determined that we should sail into Italy. So that was the determination, and we've got to have determination to reach our destination. And we've got to be dedicated, determined, and not give up, amen, and not throw in the towel. And just because we have these tough times that we're experiencing, we need to endeavor to persevere. That was Apostle Paul. And so we see here how that, as he was there in this island, snake bit, but he ministered. And then in verse 11, Acts 28, and after 3 months, now he was there on that island for 3 months. Can you imagine that? Not part of their schedule. They didn't put it in their plans, but God had other things. And sometimes these things that we don't plan for many times end up being the exact thing that we need to get us more focused and fit to be able to accomplish the will of God for our life. Who's with me? Say amen. And it's so true. And so we can make it. And so he got back in the ship. And even though the ship that he was originally on ended up running aground and it was shipwreck, sometimes those things that happen, God doesn't want you to give up. He wants you to keep going. And so we need to do that, 2022. We've got to endeavor to persevere. And we've got to determine to keep on going despite all the things that are happening, all the things that we know that are going to happen. And we know that society and the world today are in direct contrast to what God wants to accomplish in people's lives. They are no longer, you know, trying to cover up what they want to accomplish. They're just bold. Amen. They're just bold in saying what they want to do and how they want to enslave. Enslave in a bondage, even like back in the days of a Pharaoh. And how that Pharaoh got the people so messed up and so busy about things that they would forget about what Moses wanted for them through the plan of Almighty God to lead them out of Egypt and get them to that place where God could minister to them and shower his love and blessings and grace upon their lives. And the devil is constantly going to fight against it. Amen. And he'll do it. And so the Apostle Paul knew it. And then in verse number 16, and when we came to Rome, he reached his destination. And of course, God began to use the Apostle Paul there in that place. And even though he was incarcerated, he had some leniency there. They would let him receive visitors. And he was able to minister there to some of the magistrates, even the top Jewish leaders at that time that were still at Rome. And then he wrote some of the books of the New Testament. And then later on, he didn't realize that he'd eventually be executed, but he died doing exactly what God wanted him to do, a martyr for God. Amen. And he was faithful to it. And but who knows? We go through these times and we see what's happening. Oh, listen, God's people need to understand, recognize. We need some things to help us and guide us. And so as they piled up into this ship and headed towards Rome, the Bible says after 3 months, and which we wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor of Pollux, and landing in Syracuse, we tarried 3 days. And from thence we fetched the compass, and came to Regium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli. And so the Apostle Paul, once again, back on course, amen. Even though he had a shipwreck, even though he had all the struggle, even though he had all these setbacks, and all of the mental anguish that he had to endure, and the physical things that he had to carry with him, 3 times he asked the Lord to relieve him of that thorn that he had in the flesh. Many believed a physical type of deficiency that he would struggle with constantly, but the Apostle Paul wasn't going to stop, quit, throw in the towel. He's an example to us. Amen. That even though there are tough times and troubled waters and the difficult situations, we too can make it if we could take it for the glory of God. So what did Paul do? Well, he fetched a compass and a device that would help him in the direction that they were going. And we need to understand, as God's people, this holy word of God, the old King James Bible, that's our compass. Amen. That is the thing that God wants us to have in our life that will guide us and lead us and direct us and support us and comfort and cheer us. The traveler's map, the pilot's staff, the soldier's sword. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. And it should rule the mind, guide the feet. It's a mind of wealth. And God thought it, Christ wrought it, the Holy Spirit brought it, the devil fought it, but praise God, I got it. Amen. That's the compass. And listen, if we're going to stay on course, if we're going to be able to make it through these troubled waters, if we're going to maintain our goals that we set for ourselves, 2022, whatever it may be, perhaps to read your Bible through, maybe it's to win somebody to Christ, maybe, you know, it may be some type of carnal type of, you know, goal, maybe to lose weight or something. People are just obsessed with losing weight. And would God we would channel that type of a fervor that people have towards losing weight to winning somebody to Christ. Amen. To win somebody to Jesus. That ought to be the goal of every Christian person who claims to know Jesus Christ as Savior. To win somebody to Christ. Amen. That ought to be the greatest desire. That ought to be our resolution every day of our life as Christian people. Well, it's the compass. It's the Word of God. Most people get off track, get off course, because they're not reading the Bible. They're not reading the Scriptures. They're not memorizing the Scriptures. The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. And it's the thing that shows me the way. It keeps me from falling off into false doctrines and to succumb to the wiles of the devil. The Bible said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Who's with me? Amen. Oh, to stand against the devil. We can do it. We can make it. But we've got to have that compass. We've got to have that device. And back then, they would use a certain type of a device there, landmarks. They would use landmarks. They'd use the stars and all of those sextant-type things that they would have. And when they would find out how shallow they would sound and find it, maybe 20, 15 fathoms, and all of that. Of course, now today we have all sorts of different devices and how people can track you and how you can track your steps. And your phone has a device that will tell us everywhere we've been. Amen. And you can track them. And people, you know, I turned mine off, amen. And so, because, you know, I don't even know how to work it anyways. But the Bible, the Word of God, tells us that every single step, footstep, is recorded by God. Amen. So we ought to shod our feet with the preparation gospel of peace. And so have the Word of God. And you want to be able to make it through these troubled, stormy waters that we are in today. And mark it down. Don't be lulled to sleep by the devil. Don't be. The devil, he's very wily and crafty. He's got his ways of doing things to try to slip up. Oh, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. We don't think it's bad. As long as, you know, our front yard is fine and our driveway has been shoveled and all of that, our lights are on and things of that nature. But what's happening? The devil's always at work in the shadows. Amen. Amen. And then at the right time, he'll pounce on. He'll jump pounce on you. And you don't even know it. Why? Because you don't have the compass. You didn't have the compass. The Apostle Paul knew how important it was to have a compass. And that his compass was able to guide him and lead him in the marks and the landmarks. That's why Proverbs said, don't remove the ancient landmark. The King James Bible is an ancient landmark. This church is an ancient landmark. It's been here for over 50 years, amen? Longer than that. Started over in Rosemont, moved out here. And so, it's been around for a while in... It's a landmark, and these are things we need. So he had the compass, and then he continued on. And what happened? Verse 14, and we found brethren. And it's sold to help us in our endeavors, and as we sail, to keep us safe, our families safe, our hearts right with God. We need a compass, and we need to have the right companionship, the right type of friends. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth countenance of his friends. The one thing that'll get you off course quicker than anything else is another person. Amen. It'll be another person. And if you have a companion, you have a person that you're chummy with, and they're trying to talk you away from the church, neighbor, that's not the type of friend you want to have. Amen. Amen. If you're talking to people that are running down this church and running down the pastor, those are the times of people that will get you off course quicker than you can blink your eyes. And you'll find the next couple of weeks how far off course you are because you listened to the wrong type of companion. Who's with me? And that's what gets people off course. People that they run around with. People that they hang around with. And people that they talk to. And more God's people get off course scripturally, doctrinally, because you're reading after somebody that doesn't even believe the King James Bible. What about that? Amen. And oh, when you're going through a storm and you got your family and it's a life-threatening situation, the last thing you want to have there is a companion that's going to just try to distract you from keeping that ship, your home, your family, your children in a place of safety. Amen. Amen. No, people, you don't realize it. When they try to lead you astray, it not just affects you, it affects your home. It affects your family. It affects your children. Amen. 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 And so we had to have a company. And, you know, these friends. And I have different friends that encourage. And that's what we want to be, a helper. Be a pulley, not a bully. And stop pushing people around. Stop criticizing people. Some people may not grow as fast as other people. Some people may not grasp it as quick as other people. And rather than be critical of a person who maybe may not be there where you are spiritually, rather than be a bully, be a pulley. Be a helper. Be an encourager. Be kind. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Amen. For Christ hath forgiven us. And that was a time of people, Apostle Paul, he wore out. Fellas, lend me a hand. Help me along my way. And I'm thankful for people. There are people that God has put in my life that have helped me along the way. And have been a blessing to me. And they keep me on course in these troubled waters. And they help me. And they, you know, buy me a vehicle. Buy me tires for my vehicle. Or they'll be a help and a blessing. I was in a church and preaching a gospel message. A fella come up to me, one of my friends I hadn't seen in years, shook my hand and gave me a $100 bill. And he said, I want to be a help and a blessing and an encouragement to you. And then I got a letter not long ago from a young man pastoring a church in Canada who said, Brother Murphy, I just want to be an encouragement. You preached years ago revival. I got saved and now I'm a pastor in Canada. Oh, encouraging. Who's with me? What if I'd have quit? What if I'd have let some double-tongued, fast-talking individual pull me away? Amen. And there are people like that. Several years ago, we had a guy in a church passing out these little cassette tracks about Jack Howes and trying to expose him with the lies and deceit. And a fella come up to my dad. I was standing right next to him. And said, you need to listen to it. My dad said, son, you take that cassette tape and you stick it in your ear. Who women say amen? And the fella never approached him again. And it wasn't long before that guy was gone. Who women amen? Right in the church. It happened. And so we need to be careful. We want to encourage one another, be a help to each other, and to pray for one another. But sometimes we've got to, as the Bible says, mark them that cause division. Amen. And so why? Because our family's at stake. Our children are at stake. We're in these troubled waters. We're sailing this ship. This church is at stake. What if this church went down? Where would our family be today? We'd be scattered abroad here until we wouldn't know what we'd be doing if we didn't have this church. Amen. And this man of God up here leading us, guiding us. And so make sure you have the right companions. And then in verse 15, and thence when the brethren heard of us, and it came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Then you had to have courage. You want to keep that New Year's resolution, have a compass, have companions, and have the courage to do it. It takes courage to serve the Lord. Amen. It takes boldness. It takes courage. And we need to have it. And we don't need to succumb and to be intimidated by the worldly crowd. God wants us to have courage. He wants us to be bold. According to the scriptures, the early church, that was one of the characteristics of the early church. They stood up with boldness. We need some Christian with some boldness. Christian people that are stick and stay, make it pay. Christian people that are going to determine in their hearts. They're not going to waver, not going to throw in the towel, not going to quit. They're going to stand firm. They're going to be behind the work. And they're going to rally around the pastor and see the ship of God continue to sail on, reaching sinners for the glory of God. Amen. But people today, they don't have the courage to do right. They don't have the courage to follow the scriptures. They don't have the courage to separate from the worldly crowd. Everybody wants to just go along with the times. Everybody just wants to go along with things. Well, it's fine if it's, you know, if it's biblical. Amen. But once it's contrary, the Bible says we ought to separate light from darkness. And all of those things that happen. And not let the worldly crowd. Well, they made it to Rome. Thank God. And we can make it if we can take it. We just had to pray and ask God to give us a compass and to give us a companions and to give us a courage and to take this courage and to use it for God and to promote the cause of Christ. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, tonight that we have these things to help us to reach our destination. Oh, dear God, one day we'll be in glory. We look forward to that. Perhaps it'll be this year. We don't know. I thought perhaps you would come last year, Lord. I was looking for it. I was looking forward to it. I made the necessary preparations light of you coming. I will continue to do so, Lord, in the 2022. And I will prepare myself to be also ready for in such an hour as I think not, you could come. And the Lord, it'll happen. But Lord, when you come back, I want to make sure I am on course. I'm not off course. I haven't drifted away. I haven't been lured away by somebody or something. But Lord, I've been true to the King James Bible. I've had the companions that you wanted me to have. And Lord, you've given me the courage to do it for your honor, for your glory. Oh, Father, help us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of us say, my heart's desire is to stay on course into 22. Lift your hand up big and high all over the building. And God's put to your heart, why don't you put your hand down? We get the invitation. Come, and you ought to dedicate yourself. Lord, help me to stay on track, to stay on course in 2022. Help me not to drift. Help me not to compromise. Help me not to be led astray, but Lord, help me to stay on course with that compass and our companion. And our greatest companion is Christ and our courage that he gives us. He wants us to have it. Make the decision. And why don't you fortify it in coming to the altar? You lifted your hand. Don't tarry, don't delay. Father, bless the invitation. Let's have everyone stand. You raise your hand. Why don't you come? And let's tonight, as a church family, dedicate ourselves to stay on course in 2022. Come tonight, the altar. That's where God wants us to meet and to be I'm going to dedicate myself to stay on track, to stay on course in 2022. Come to the altar tonight. Oh, listen, we need it. We need to fortify it. We need to set it in concrete. When I got right with God, March the 14th, 1982, I came to the altar. I fortified it in the things of God. You come tonight and come as a family, come as individuals, come as youth folks, come as young people with a companion. Do you have a companion that you can pray with? Is there anybody in the youth group that'll take the leadership and say, yes, we're going to pray as companions to stay on course in 2022. We're not going to get off track. We're going to be faithful and true to the compass. We're going to have the right companions, the influences, all the bad influences we're going to keep out. And then we're going to have the courage to do it. And oh, listen, that's what it takes tonight, folks. You don't know how important this church is to this community, how important this church is to your family. We can't let it drift. We can't let it falter, fail, sink. We need Christian people that'll stay on course. Oh, God spoke to your heart. You come tonight.